Father, we thank you for this morning. We ask and receive in our hearts, everyone here, revelation, insight in the knowledge of your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask that that image created us to function in your Son, Jesus Christ. The insights of the same done in our hearts in an overwhelming fashion. We ask that our thoughts, our opinions, our mindset, belief system, perspective, lenses, judgments, insights, and even experiences will bow to your word this morning. We ask that just as there's no error in the teaching of your word, there will be no error in our understanding. In our hearts this morning, there will be a fellowship of conviction, revelation, insight, the knowledge of your Son. Now, we are not tossed to and fro. We are not tossed here and there with the various winds of experiences and insight. Flies about outside your wing. But we are all built up together, made to found them, nourished up, built up together as a church, needed together in the world of faith, in the ministry of your Spirit. We ask that this morning we will get better as a result of your word in handling the precious gift of one another, even relationships, according to your plans and purposes. We will see as we also see to the end that we are able to handle, we are able to walk in, walk with each other, build your plans and purposes in and through our lives. We ask and receive this in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. And the old church says, amen. Hallelujah. Matthew's Gospel 10:8. Ready for the word? Right. Matthew 28 is our text. We're looking at the subject of building relationships, something like that, or how to see one another. And I'll begin to run up a little bit, or maybe just direct my thoughts, because I want to open up new thoughts in the new year, still on the same line of relationships. I think I'll be teaching around this sometimes in January or February, or maybe immediately after a camp meeting by February. Are we together? We'll look at relationships again, and I want to talk more about, about relationships. Hallelujah. So, in Matthew's Gospel 28, again, touch down on it. He says to make disciples. That is the instruction. And we said it has to do with communicating God's perspective to life and living. God's perspective to life and living. And discipleship, already presupposes that you have to bring it up again, because like I told you, nobody, grows by eating once. Hallelujah. You have to eat again and again. Sometimes the medical science or, the nutrition will tell you, take this meal, again and again. I tell you to increase something in your meal over and over. So nobody grows, or nobody resolves a deficiency by making a supply once. Sometimes even when, you're ill, go to the doctor, they give you medications, and it's usually in several doses. Are we together? So sometimes everyone told to take it in the morning, take it in the afternoon, take it in the night, and it's in intervals of 8 hours, take it again, sometimes for a whole week, you're taking it, and then you don't feel good, and you're like, oh God, and all that. But it's so that you can get well. So God's word also functions like medicine. Yeah. The writer of Proverbs spoke about God's word, Proverbs 4, functioning like a medicine. Are we together? And again, Psalms, David explains God's word in 119. And, he explains God's word as that which functions as light. It functions as a lamp. Are we together? Functions as a lamp. You don't say, I've used the light in my hands. Maybe you're going in the dark, and then you have a torchlight, and then you put the light on in the dark so you could walk a path. And then you don't say, I've used the torchlight for 5 minutes. It has now registered in my eyes. So let me off it so I can walk the remaining distance without light. You go hurt yourself. As long as you have a walk, you need the light, right? Except maybe you get to a place where there are now bulbs. You say, okay, let me put on my light. But if you get to a place where light is there, as long as you have walk, you need the light. So God's word requires that consistent visit. Are we together? You have to keep visiting the word of God. You have to keep visiting it. Praise God forevermore. So that is what discipleship is about. So looking at relationships in Matthew 18, again, quickly. Now, I'll just say a few things before me, and then I think as from Thursday or Sunday, I will take a particular direction in our study. So I can open this thing up and then follow another direction in another teaching series. Praise the Lord. So quickly, it is in Matthew's Gospel chapter 18 and then in verse 15. Jesus, don't forget, Jesus is a master of relationships. He says in 15, moreover, if thy brother trespass against thee, so he caused it, she caused it. He says, go and tell him his fault. And he didn't say, go and accuse him. He didn't say, go and accuse him. No. He says, go and tell him his fault. He says, between you and him alone, and if he shall hear you, thou hast gained thy brother. That means the intention of that coming together is reconciliation. So you go with a mindset to reconcile. You go with a mindset to build relationships. And that's why we said as Christians, we have a duty to every God-given relationship. Are we together? Every God-given relationship, we have the duty to build it. And if you found a relationship to be supernatural, that means God is carrying out his plan in your life using that particular relationship, then you have the duty to protect and to guard it. Now, I'm going to build on that second phrase of mine, or second point of mine, as from Thursday, or maybe from next week Sunday. Guarding and protecting my relationships. Are we together? Are we together? Alright. So it is, if he shall hear you, it says you have gained your brother. Then it says in 16, but if he will not hear you, it says don't stop there. It says take with thee one or two more. One or two more people. Are we together? Not that we'll accuse him. One or two more people who have wisdom of reconciliation. One or two more people. Then it is that in the mouth of two or three witnesses, it is every word may be established. Then if he shall neglect to hear them, tell it to the church. Now, it doesn't mean to come to church and announce it to everybody. You tell the brother in that cell, you tell the sister in the other cell, you tell the other person going to that place, you're heading back home, you're in the same bus, you tell all the people in your bus and all that. No. Tell it to the church for the sake of reconciliation. And I showed you critically some time ago that the word church there is the word synagogue. Synagogue. Now, in the synagogue, there's what we call ecclesia in the synagogue. Usually, in the Jewish custom, in their synagogue, which was their place of worship, they usually have a sect of people that they call the ecclesia. The ecclesia are described as the elders of the church. So, you know, today in 2025, when you read church, your mind is on the whole assembly. The assembly. But right here, in Jesus' day, the church had a meaning. The church was the ecclesia. Ecclesia is, you know, from the two words ek and kaleo. Ecclesia, ek and kaleo. Kaleo means to separate. To separate, to call, to separate for the sake of a function. Now, in the Greek lexicon, where you have the word ek, ek, it's used to describe, it's a directional word. It means out. Out. That's where you have the word ek. Or X, E-X, and then you have the word Odos. So you have Exodus. It's the same word, Ek, Odos. Odos is used for a path. A path. Odos is used for a path, you know, or a way. A path. So when you have the word Ek, Odos, where you have Exodus, it means a way out of. So God carried out an Exodus with Israel. That's a way out of. Are we together? So when you see the word Ek, it means out of. So when you have ek, kaleo, ecclesia, it means to call out. That's why it is used for the believer in Christ, because we have been called out of darkness. So the church in this context refers to the sects, a group of people who are in the synagogue. They are now called out. So it is used for selecting people to perform a special function. So ecclesia is a sect, a gathering of people usually called out for the purpose of overseeing the affairs of the rest. They are selected, they are brought out from the masses for the purpose of overseeing the affairs of the rest. So those group of people that were selected out of the masses to now oversee the affairs of the masses are called the church. So today, you can also see that same intention or that same reality with us today. God has called us out to now oversee the affairs of the world according to his plans and purposes. Are we together? So that's the element of church. So when Jesus said here, to tell it to the church, he wasn't saying announce it before the brethren. He was rather talking about talking to the elders of the synagogue. Because the elders of the synagogue is what is described as the church. In other words, talk to those he also honors. Did you see that? You've gone to meet him to reconcile, and the fellow refuted your reconciliation. He doesn't budge. Then you go with the brother or sister. Then the fellow doesn't listen. He said, don't stop there. What is Jesus saying? Go to every means to ensure there's reconciliation. Go to every means within your power. Do your best to ensure that the strife did not stand. Do your best to ensure that the relationship is strong. Do your best. Now, I know, because you are not in relationship with yourself. Are we together? Many times, you might not still be able to get the reconciliation done. But at that moment, at least it is not your fault. Are we together? That was why Jesus said in verse 17, if he shall neglect them, tell it to the church. But if he neglect the church, wow, so he's going to neglect the church. He can neglect elders. If he neglect, or if she neglect, or if they neglect the church, it is, let him be unto you as an hidden man or a publican. I'll explain that to you later. Let him be to you as a hidden man. In other words, treat him like you would treat an unbeliever. Now, what does it mean to treat him like I treat an unbeliever? Definitely, the Israelite is also taught not to hate the unbeliever. So when he says treat him like an unbeliever, he's not saying, all right, so hate him. See, the Christian man has no reason to hate anybody. No reason. There is nothing in God's word that after a while now it justifies you that, I understand. You can actually hate him. Nothing. The Christian man has no right to hate any man. In fact, much more than that, the Christian man, don't forget we said, he functions as the image of God. And in functioning as the image of God, the same Matthew in chapter 5 says to love your enemies. So whatever he meant by treating as a publican or as a hidden does not mean to hate on him. It actually also implies to just walk in love, just let him be. That means, look at this, Christians don't seek revenge. Christians don't seek revenge. Are we together? And that's what sometimes some people don't know. That's what forgiveness means. You know, I know the Bible says you should forgive and forget. Forgive and forget. Definitely, the forgetting that the Bible talks about is not talking about amnesia, loss of memory. You don't lose your memory. Are we together? You don't lose your memory. You lose your memory. But it means you will not put that event to account again. You will never act based on it. Now someone say, but that is difficult. Yes, that is why Jesus was instructing believers, not unbelievers. Because the believers have the capacity by the Spirit of God. But it's difficult. It's difficult. It's difficult. Yes. It is it's not even difficult. It is impossible for the man who is not born again. But not for the believer. Say, I forgive. Hallelujah. Look at this. So in Matthew 19, they came to Jesus about a question of relationships. Marital here. He says, is it lawful, verse 3, Matthew 19, that a man put away his wife for every cause? And Jesus answered and said unto them, have you not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female? And said, for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, shall cleave to his wife, and the twain shall be one flesh. Alright? So Jesus responds to marital, you know, resolutions by talking about the image of God. And that's where we are. So looking at the image of God, the image of God text is Genesis 1. I hope you are with your Bibles and writing materials. And I hope you are using it. Alright. I know in the cinema. Amen. In Matthew 1, sorry, Genesis 1, 25, 26. And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the earth, over the cattle, and over all the earth. So all the what? Earth. Did you see that? Right? Now, over every creeping thing that creep upon the what? The earth. Are we together? So, the fowl of the air is in the earth. The creeping thing that creeps is in the earth. Are we together? The fish of the sea is also in the earth. In the space called the earth. Are we together? Now, I know later writers will now use texts like, what's it called? Above the earth, on the earth, and beneath the earth. Alright, we'll look at that sometime later on. But it's from this text also. We'll look at that later on. So, but man's influence will be what? On the earth. Now, look at something we said on Thursday. If you were here, if you were not here, I don't know where you were on Thursday evening. And that's one thing about teaching at a local church. In a local church, especially a church that you have called your own, you don't miss the services. Don't miss. See, if the church that you have called your own, that means you are not a Shaleje Christian. You know, they are Shaleje Christians. Tom. They don't grow. They don't grow. Are we together? They don't grow. So, but if it's a church that you have called your own, he said, I like to fellowship with this assembly. I like to be a member of this place. Then, for that particular church, you don't miss services. It is not God's plan for you that you miss service. It is contrary to God's plan. And I'm not saying that because we want to fill up the seats. I'm saying that because of you, your own health. It is not God's plan that you miss any service. Does that mean that we must attend all the service of our church? Well, that question will be strange to Christians in the book of Acts. It is because we are backsliding today that you have that question. Are you saying I should attend all the services of my church? That question is because you are backsliding. It is a strange question to the church in Acts. You go read the book of Acts. They met daily. These days we don't even meet daily. And when they meet daily, maybe later on, I'll show you. I've done the survey, but I'll show you. I'll show you how a typical church service looks like in the book of Acts. And don't you ever think that the people were not busy. Don't you ever think that? Don't you ever think that the people were not busy? They didn't have important things they were doing in their world. No, that's a myopic view. Are we together? If I show you a typical service in the book of Acts, usually Their service stands for hours. Jesus himself once held a teaching for 40 days, and they were meeting for about 12 hours. And then, if you look critically into the text, you observe that in the morning times, the people will go away. Then they will meet in the afternoon and stretch into evening, into late evening. That is the way Christianity grows. Nothing grows in convenience, and no one develops in convenience. So if we subject our growth, our development to convenience, we will fall into the danger of a compromised state. Are we together? You eat daily. I want to believe you bathe daily. Are we together? Are we together? You observe that the things that are almost compulsory in your life, that your life, you've built a value system around it, oftentimes you engage those things daily. You go to work daily. You go to school daily. Are we together? The things that you have attached much value to are things that after some hours, doing them returns to you again. After some hours around the clock, the activity returns to you again. Then the faith also. There is nothing wrong in attending church services daily. So today in 2025, we say, how about spend a tithe of your day with the Lord? The tithe of your day with the Lord daily. Now, because of our lifestyle, because of our world, say, okay, some 2 hours, 2 hours plus every day. The things that makes us strong, or the things that we are strong at, observe it very well. That the things that you are very, 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 very skillful at, you engage it daily. The same thing happens. So that is how Christians become strong. Engage the realities of the faith on a daily basis. You are either praying, or you are receiving God's word, or you are witnessing to somebody else. You're preaching the gospel. Or you are loving on checking a Christian, checking a member of a church. Yeah, how are you doing? I just failed to check you. Hope you're doing well. All right, 5-10 minutes, you're off. But do something about your faith every day. It makes you strong. A strong Christian. One day I want to be a strong Christian. Are we together? I don't know about you. Praise God. So look at that. In Genesis 1, quickly, it says in verse 27, so God created man in his image. In the image of God created him. Male and female created he them. So that's humanity. And God blessed them. God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply, replenish the what? The earth. So man will have influence towards the earth. Man will function towards the earth. So the earth will eventually have God's dominion everywhere. Is that what we said? Eventually, the eventual state of the earth, what we call the end of the world, the eventual state of the earth is that the earth will be full of God's dominion. Because he puts man there and he says, have dominion, and man is to function in his image. So if man is created to be in God's image, and God says, have dominion, that means man is demonstrating God's dominion over the earth. So the earth is the Lord's, but he has put man to exercise his dominion. So man is a caretaker. Man will function as a caretaker. The earth is not his own. The earth belongs to the Lord. Are we together? Are we together? The earth belongs to the Lord. But God has given man that privilege to demonstrate his influence upon the earth. God will not go back. Some say, why can't God just save everybody? If God is powerful, a Muslim once told me that. If God is powerful, like you say, the person says, if God wants to grab me He says, you believe there's nothing God cannot do? I say, yes. He said, all right. Why didn't God? And I kind of felt like asking, who are you to question his methods? You are just a creature. Are we together? He said, why didn't God just do something that will make everybody saved, including me? Like what? I don't know. Maybe God just set up a wireless system somewhere in heaven. And maybe when everybody is asleep, the angels will just carry out a wireless connection. And God will just ask Angel Yure, where are you? Or Angel Fatai, are you done? Angel Kodri, he just say, you! Kodri most likely finished last because there's Zubara, he's dead. He finished last. Maybe he's the one sent to the Antarctica regions, you know. And he said, are you done? I said, I still have one more person to connect. What's wrong? He's just waking up. Are you done connecting? I'm done connecting. All right. So all the angels in heaven, they just gather. So someone will play keyboards. So God will just press the one now. Maybe there's a button. You know those technology movies? Just draw that thing down. Everybody just wake up with supernatural joy. And if you were to just be singing, I need you to survive all the earth. So why can't God do that? You can see that you just had it like a movie. So why can't God do that? If God is all powerful, why can't he save us like that? Why does he have to kill his own son? Can't he do it other way? Well, if God is as powerful as you think to, if he is also all powerful, why can't he become a man and die? Are we together? Are you seeing? So sometimes you think God should have just reached the whole world at once. If he is really interested in us being saved, see, he has given the affairs of the earth unto man. He will not go back. He will walk with man. He will walk with man. So he will keep on winning more unto him. Winning more unto him. And there's something about true worship that requires your will. Ezekiel Church. We'll talk about that later on, maybe in the second session. So look at this. He says, subdue and have dominion over the earth. So we said on Thursday, for example, that God's nation, you know, we used Israel on Sunday, right? And I spoke a little bit about Israel also on Thursday, but we said Israel will be the model of God's son. Do you remember? Will be the model. So whatever Israel is modeling will be for who? For who? The earth. Isn't it? The earth. So God wants to refer to the whole earth as his what? His son. Are we together? Because Israel is son. We took a long time on the text on Sunday and I explained it to you well. So look at that. With a God's nation would therefore be three things or three offices, right? What is the first office? A nation of what? Kings. Now, usually, you don't have plurality of kingship or plurality of kings in a nation. It is not done. You don't have plurality of kings in the nation. But God's plan for his own nation is that all are kings. That's why I told you that if all are kings, are we together? Then who is going to rule over who? Well, God's intention was never that man would rule over man. So in the have dominion, in Genesis 1, you will not see over man. Man was not included in Genesis 1:21 on Genesis text as what man will rule over. Did you get it? Alright. So all in God's nation will function as what? Kings. So I've told you, John writes in Revelation, he says, the Lamb has made us unto our God a kingdom of what? Kings and what? Priests. Why will you say kingdom of priests? It sounds contradictory. Kingdom of priests. Kingdom of priests. Oh, what he's saying is that in that kingdom, all will be priests. All will be priests. In that kingdom, all will be priests. So in God's nation, all will be priests. Yes or no? Yes or no? In God's nation. Now, can we say that nation today is the church? Okay. In God's nation, all of God's people, will they also be prophets? Will they also be prophets? Alright. They will also be prophets. And notice in Genesis 35, God mentioned that kings coming out of your loins. He mentioned it to who? Who? It wasn't Abraham that is in 35. Abraham was in 17. Are we together? Abraham was in 17. So he mentioned that to Abraham in Genesis 17. Are we together? I think I showed you that, right? Right? Verse 6. He mentioned it to Abraham. So the same promise that God gave to Abraham, God gave it to Isaac. God now gave it to what? Jacob, who is called Israel. So when he says the children of Israel, God is saying, definitely that's the offspring of Jacob. The children of Israel, the kids of Jacob. Are we together? So God is saying that they will all function as kings. And don't forget that Israel is taken as a prototype. What God wants to do in all the earth. What he wants to do in all the earth. So in God's nation, conclusively, in God's nation, all of God's people will function as kings, will function as priests, and will function as what? Prophets. And I told you what those offices mean. I told you that on Thursday. I told you that. A nation of kings, a nation of priests, we are together, we dominate influences that are not of God. Is it clear? So, when you see a fellow believer or another member of the church, in God's heart, two of you are partners in kingdom affairs. So you are never working for the church if it is you that is spreading the gists. Some people in church are gist mongers. You are the one spreading the gists. You are the one, you are the one publishing, circulating the errors of everybody. No, you are not working for God. Are we together? If you're a Christian, I saw one charlatan on Facebook. Because he has data and camera. You know, this guy in the studio. He said that God told him to be exposing the errors in the church. You are called of the devil. There's just one accuser in heaven and on earth. He is Satan. And you are working for him. It is not the ministry of the Spirit. It is not the work of the Spirit. The Holy Spirit does not call anybody to reveal the error in his church. Does he do something about it? Yes. Does he tell it to the world? No. You're dirty. You're just dirty. You're not working for God. You want content and subscriptions and followership and engagements, which will bring you what? money, and you have found the church as what you take the fall for your appetite for money, you are the devil. The one who fixes his churches is walking in the churches. Jesus didn't need someone to send a word to the pastors of the seven churches. He deals with his churches without Facebook Live. That's why I don't watch those channels. Because watching them and giving them your views is supporting them. I don't watch them. Sometimes I come across this channel and say, what does he have to say? The moment I catch a glimpse of what you're trying to say, I decide immediately. I don't watch it. I know some Christians. They will even watch. They will watch. They will share. They will save. You're working for the devil. Say, I don't work for the devil. Some of you didn't say that. Say, I don't work for the devil. God's nation. So in God's nation, we are going to see pluralities of kings, of priests. That shows you, like I told you, that God's responsibility for Adam in the garden, right? Would therefore to function as what? A king, right? As what? A priest. Don't forget, it is to keep and to what? To dress the garden. And I told you the garden is figurative of God's presence. God's plan. The garden is figurative of God's plan. Notice in that garden there was perfection. But outside that garden there was no perfection. So when he says to tend, to dress the garden, which means he's going to expand the garden. So God's plan is that eventually the whole earth will become what? The garden. The whole earth will be turned into that garden. Are you with me? And that's what God, you know, man failed in Jesus. God through Jesus Christ has brought us into the same. Amen. I said amen. So it doesn't look like that on the earth. It doesn't look like that right from Genesis. So, like I told you, Moses now takes Genesis 1 and 2 to teach the people God's plan from the what? From the beginning. But right from Genesis 3, because when Moses went to Egypt, he was going to show them in Egypt that he doesn't look like it. Right? This is God's plan, but he doesn't look like it. So Moses would now have to tell them why he doesn't look like it. So he showed them what God's plan is, and he showed them why the earth doesn't look like God's plan. Are we together? Because of sin, because of disobedience. So, and just like Matthew 19, the question is, you know, follow the conversation again. Can a man put away his wife for every cause? Then Jesus said, in the beginning, that's not the plan. And I said, why then doesn't it look like it? Why then did Moses permit us to divorce? So it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like what? Let no man put asunder. But Moses said we could divorce. So currently it doesn't look like it. You said, whatever God has joined together, let no man put asunder. Then Moses said, we could divorce. So from the state of things, it doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. Then Jesus says, because of your stubbornness. Because of your stubbornness. So that was the same thing Moses was doing to Israel, showing them why the earth doesn't look like God's plan. God's plan was Genesis 1, 2. Why doesn't it look like it? He now showed them what happened in 3. The man, the woman, the serpent, disobedience. Disobedience is what destroys the earth. Nothing else. Man seeing what God wants, choosing otherwise. That's what has led all humanity to the point where wanting something else apart from God's desire, or choosing something else apart from God's desire. Glory to God. Choosing something else for whatever reason, but choosing something else aside from what God desires, what God has designed. That is why the primary sin in the scriptures, in fact, what we can call the sin. In other words, this is what meant every other thing. Now it says, unrighteousness is sin. All unrighteousness is sin. In other words, this is what bears every. This is the mother sin. The mother, the source of every other sin on the earth. Disobedience. Disobedience. Some disobey. Are we together? Out of ignorance. Some disobey willfully. Disobedience. So God has to show. So Jesus says, because of the hardness of your heart, disobedience, Moses suffered you. He allowed you to put your wives away. So there are a lot of things that goes wrong in our relationships because of what? Disobedience. So in my relationships, I want what God wants. Look at this. So it doesn't look like it. What does it look like it? A nation where all are kings. It doesn't look like it. A nation where all function as priests. It doesn't look like it. A nation where all function as prophets, it doesn't look like it. And in fact, that was the reason for the book of Deuteronomy. God's commandment was the 10. And the 10 had a logic. If you read the 10 commandments, you observe that there are two parts. The first 5 commandments focus on you and God. Go and read it. The second 5 commandments now focus on you and others. So that how you relate with others is built on your relationship with God. All the thou shalt not bow to any other God, thou shalt not do this, that they all focus on God. Thou shalt have no graven image. Focus on God. What the New Testament writers later taught as faith in God. Then you now see the next 5, thou shalt not commit murder. Thou shalt not commit adultery. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not do this. Now focus on your neighbor. So that fulfilling the last 5 is a function of a strong first 5. If you are strong in the first 5, the last 5 is natural. And that was God's commandment to Israel. But because the people were stubborn, Moses now had to revisit them with 662 laws. Now, the 602 laws was nothing but a detailed explanation of the 10. But in explaining the 10, he now began to put into consideration their disobedient act. And if they will not do this, then do this, then do this, then do this. Because he already said, thou shalt not murder. But they were killing their wives. If you go read Deuteronomy very well, a man can just wake up in the morning and gather other guys and stone the woman and she's dead. And that's all. Nobody holds them in question because it was a patriarchal society. Women were treated as part of luggages in that world. In fact, in the same commandment, you will read, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's cattle, sheep, belongings, wife. In the same statement, that was how that world treated woman. But that wasn't God's plan. Notice that in God's image, man and woman are what? Equal sides of the world of the temple. So the earth does not look like it. It does not look like what God wants. A nation where all functions by the Spirit. A nation of prophets. It doesn't look like it. A nation where man dominates contrary forces to God's plan. Not fellow man. It doesn't look like it. It doesn't look like it. So look at what happens. Again, he says, have dominion, right? Have dominion. Now, if he says, have dominion over. He says the earth. So there are forces dominate. Now look at what the woman was found doing. The woman was now found chatting with a Nakash. The woman was chatting with a serpent. Definitely, Moses knew his audience were not stupid to think that snakes talk. So the teaching of Genesis 1 and 2 and 3 was not to teach that snakes talk. Snakes don't talk. Are we together? But Moses used the illustration of a talking serpent to describe a supernatural influence that deceives man from what God wants. That was why the later writers of the Bible will now explain the serpent as Satan. Are we together? In that world, when you have a serpent, the people is in their language. There is an understanding they have about a serpent. It is used to describe a number of things. Part of it is what something that is divine. Now, not divine as per God. It doesn't have to do with positive, but it has to do with divination. It means something that is supernatural. It is deceptive. It is cunning. It is subtle. So, there is a way subtlety entered into the heart of man to deceive him from God's plan. That was what the serpent mirrored. A supernatural influence that didn't come from God and led man astray. He wasn't saying the woman was talking to a snake. Are we together? Like I told you, Genesis 1 verse 2, Genesis chapter 1, chapter 2, you are also reading a lot of things that are not, what's it called, literal. You are reading a lot of symbolic things. So, a snake or a serpent having conversations with the woman shows that she was out of place. Because, look at what Jesus did. Look at what Jesus did. Jesus had a similar encounter with the serpent. And then look at what he does. He responds in a way that puts the serpent in his place. He put the serpent in his place. Are we together? So, God told man, have dominion. The man was chatting. So, you are now chatting with what you are told to have dominion over. You can see where error comes in. And that happens in our relationships. You are told to dominate something, you now expose your life to it. Something like, what's that conversation you were having with the serpent? What's the conversation? You are told to dominate. Dominate means certain conversations should not hold. So, it does not look like it. The earth does not look like what God wants or plans. So, the very reason why Jesus came. So, Jesus comes to correct the state of the earth and turn it into what God wants. Are we together? So, just like Israel, look at me, everybody, look at this. Israel is my son, right? And God brought Israel out of Exodus through the what? The sea, into the what? The wilderness. Notice that the same thing now replayed with Jesus. Jesus comes out of the water, are we together, of John the Baptist, and he goes into what? The wilderness to fast. And he was called what? My son. Just like God called Israel what? My son. So God is saying, whatever he called Israel to do, I have come to correct and to fulfill it through Jesus Christ. Jesus, therefore, yes, is God in the flesh, But Jesus therefore comes as the faithful Israel to collect and to fulfill where Israel failed. So wherever Israel had failed, are we together? Jesus fulfills it. Don't forget, he is also now described as the image of who? Of God. The very intention that God went to meet Israel for, to be his image among the nations. Are we together? So in Jesus, we said, it does not look like what God wants. So in Jesus, it is corrected. Jesus now makes it what God wants. So whatever we are reading about man who failed, it is corrected in Jesus. Whatever we are reading about the garden, Eden, it will now be found in Jesus. So Jesus fulfills Genesis 1, Genesis 2 text. He fulfills it. In fact, he now becomes the light that separates what darkness is on the earth. The Genesis 1, Genesis 2, Jesus now fulfills it. In the light of our study, it therefore implies that Jesus also corrects relationships. So the way relationships should be is now corrected where? In Christ. Jesus also now functions as that image of God. So here, this is my beloved son in whom I am what? Well pleased. This one will fulfill my plan. Where Israel failed? Where Israel failed, this will fulfill it. So look at this quickly. Jesus corrects relationships. I didn't say his teaching. I said in him. In him it is corrected. Includes his teachings, includes his lifestyle, it includes the way he lived, it includes what is now possible in him by the Spirit. Relationships is fixed. And if God's plan is attached to relationship, then God's plan will now come to pass in him. So in Christ, the chaos in humanity is corrected. The chaos in humanity is corrected. So look at this. In Christ, marital relationships are corrected. In Christ, we see, look at this, friendship. Our relationships ought to be friendship is now corrected. That means it is mirrored. When we look into Christ, we will see how marital relationships should be. Notice something. Notice Jesus never got married. Right? No, he never got married. Alright. So that shows you that by the Spirit, by the Word, in him, marital relationships are put into proper perspective. I will explore that much later. What friendship should look like is also now corrected in him. He now models it. He models it. So he says, I am the true shepherd. So shepherdhood, which is also a relationship, pastoral relationship, is also corrected in him. He models it. These are relationships. What are relationships do we have? He becomes the true brother. He becomes the true brother. What are the relationships we have? Master and slave relationships is also learned, will be properly understood God's perspective in him. Father-mother relationships will also be understood in Christ. So Christ stands as that school that fixes relationships. He now functions as the image of God. He will therefore correct whatever issues we have. He corrects whatever issues we have. Are we together? Because not only is he the image of God, he also takes us into the image of God. He takes us, he brings us into the image of God. So, let us create man in our image. He's now fulfilled in who? In Adam or in Christ? In Christ. So, those who are in Christ today, we call them Christians, we call them believers, we call it the church. So the man in Christ, or the body of Christ, the church, will therefore mirror what God's plan for humanity is. So in the church of God, all will function as what? Kings, right? All will function as what? Priests. All will function as what? Prophets. Are we together? So, will all in the church speak by the Spirit? See into God's plan? Prophet. Will all teach the word, serving the Lord? Will all dominate contrary influences? Thank you. All in the church. So, look at this today. Does everybody in the church function? Should everybody in the church function in believers' authority? So he says, this man shall follow them that shall take up serpents, all that believe. They shall lay hands on the sick, because in Christ the image of God is what? Now well modeled. Did you see that? Did you see that? So look at this. What God visited Exodus to do, Egypt to do, what God visited Egypt to do through the nation of Israel, God is doing it on the earth today towards believers everywhere. So the believers will model to the world God's plan in their words. Your word can be your profession and the people in it, your marriage and the people in it, your family and the people in it, your kind of job and the people in it. That's your world. You will now function in your world as the image of God. So every believer functioning in their worlds as the image of God, the whole world will come into God's alignment. That is partly why no church should joke with discipleship. Do you get it? Because I will function in my own through knowledge. I function in who I am through revelation. The revelation of God's plan. And that's why I will pray this morning. The revelation of God's plan. That I will see it clearly. We pray. That I will see it clearly. Glory to God. So Jesus collects marital relationships. He set it aright. Jesus set aright friendships and associations. He set aright pastoral works, oversight in the home, in the church. Jesus set aright brotherhood. He is the example of the brother. Look at this. He says, greater love can no man have for his brother. There's no greater love than this. That a man should do what? Should do what? Look at this. Should put his brothers first. That a man should put the needs of his brother first. That a man should put the needs of his brother first. That a man should give his life for his brother. Are we together, church? Are we together, church? So in the image of God, we will see relationships corrected. All the relationships I listed before now, parents to children, children to parents, are we together? Is now corrected in Christ. Husband to wife, wife to husband, is now what? Corrected in Christ. How that relationship should look like? Master to slave today. We call it employer to what? Employee. Are we together? Are we together? Is now corrected in Christ. That is, in Christ you will see how to treat your employers. And how employers should treat its employees. Neighborhood relationships. Relationships can now look like the way God intended them to look like. And that correction is in the image of God. That is the point of correction. The point of correction is the image of God. That is the point where correction takes place. The point where correction comes from, the image of God. So in the image of God, whosoever I am relating with, like I said, is a peer of the two. Did you get it? Did you get it? Is a peer of the two. Is a peer of the two. Why do we love unbelievers? Because they are also objects of God's love. And God is laboring to bring them into his family. You can't hate them. I will show you how to relate with an unbeliever, but you can't hate them. You can't hate them. They say, oh, they are killing us. They are killing us. Personally, I don't get involved in media, whatever. See, you have a duty. You have a duty. You have a duty. It's not justified that's happening, but you have a duty as a Christian to mirror God's image. Are we here? Whosoever I'm relating with is an equal. Is as an equal as you. An equal is equal with you. So if that fundamental idea is missing in my relating with others, it will affect how I handle my relationship. The image of God is in peers. I'm either dealing with my peer or I'm dealing with an equal. A man dealing with a woman is dealing with a peer. You are dealing with a fellow man, you are what? According to God's plan. Look at this. How about the father and his son? In God's plan, are they equal? Are they equal? They are equal. So like I said, how would our relationships look like when fathers treat their sons as brothers in Christ? And the relationship of my dad, my son, is now built on that. That means I will now perform the function of having given birth to this one. I will also now perform the function of the one who is bettered by this one. But there is a cord of strength behind the association. It is that what? We are brothers in Christ. Imagine mothers and daughters treating themselves first of all as sisters in Christ. That is how Jesus corrects the relationships. Imagine an employer, an employee. Imagine they treat one another as brothers and sisters in Christ. That one will not steal the goods of that one. That one will not divert the other one's money. That one will not deny this one of a payment when due. None will use political whatsoever Are we together? To oppress one another. Brothers and sisters in Christ, the image of God. So Jesus fixes that relationship. He fixes the relationship chaos. He fixes it. In Genesis 2, we said 18 and 19, we see that we are interdependent on relationships. Don't forget, Genesis 1:26 means I'll be in relationship with God first. I will now function with other people from my relationship with God. So look at this. I say this. In relating with fellow men, what am I expressing? I am expressing my relationship with the Father. My relationship with the Father. I'm relating with men in my relationships as that image. As that image. Are we together? So, look at this. Anyone I'm relating with should see the reflection of the Father in that relationship. Is it marital? Is it business? Business, job, career, family, sibling, neighborhood, employer, employees, online, offline, you are a Christian everywhere. You are a Christian everywhere. I depend on my relationship with the Father to fix relationship issues that I might have with people. And that is the basis of guarding our relationships. That we depend on our relationship with God to fix relationship with the fellow what? Man. Because that's what prayer is. Prayer is actually depending and drawing from our relationship with God to fix the things on the earth. Look at it. Forgive them, Father, for they know not what they did. I depend on my relationship with God to fix my relationship with others. So the strength of relationships with fellow men comes from the Lord. If I'm not in a strong walk with the Lord, I will mess relationships up. When I am not strong in my relationship with the Lord, I am going to walk in the flesh with my relationship with other men. Are we together? So look at this. If I can depend on my relationship with God, or based on my relationship with God, I'm in relationship with God. Based on that relationship I have with God, I can depend on God. Others should be able to depend on me. It is the basis of being reliable. Being a reliable person. A friend, therefore, is present in need. If God is present in need, if He is present in need, I ought to mirror the Father. In functioning as the image of God, I will be reliable to others. It is the basis. See, the moment your walk with God is conflicting, weak, not strong, deficient of insight and revelation, you are going to act like a chaotic human being. You are not going to function as God's image. Now, a man that does not function as God's image is lesser
lesser than man. You are going to function less than man. Because in God's plan, humanity, his man, will function as his image. So that is the basis of knowing the Lord, loving the Lord. I will be able to serve others in his plans. See, I don't know how I should behave in a particular relationship or association when my walk with God is not strong. You are going to mess it up. Because you don't know who you are. You are going to mess it up. You are going to get into the flesh. You are going to yield to the forces. And sometimes, look at this. Sometimes, the forces are coming from the other person. But you are expected to function as God's king. Yes, not in dominating that person, but working with that person to dominate that influence. But because you don't know who you are now having conversation with a serpent. So you are now reasoning, logicalizing what you should shut up. Because you don't know who you are. Because you are not in a strong walk with the Lord. Are we together? So look at this, and I'll start to close. In Genesis 2:19, we recognize our insufficiency. God wants you to recognize your insufficiency. He wants you to recognize it. Your insufficiency. Even in dominating influences. See, he has called you and he has wired you to subdue influences. So when I come in contact with an atheist, there is a way the conversation will go. Are we together? See, your identity already ministers direction to conversations even before you see the need to have them. Before you see the need to have the conversation. Before you even knew the person, talk less of having the conversation, your identity already ministers the way conversation should go. Why are you liaising with a serpent? We said dominate. You are now chatting. Kill and so. Kill of you like me. You don't know who you are. We said that you are to function as God's spokesman. Bring the will of God into the relationship. Bring the counsel of God into the association. Why is it that in your mouth is why we are not hearing how we can survive the crisis? How we can survive the crisis? Why? See, I know who I am. So, look at this. That means that the ideology of a Christian is superior. I have a superior ideology. Because I function. Now, all of humanity were created to function as God's image, but I am in it now. I'm in it now. A superior ideology. I don't speak lack. I don't speak defeat. I don't speak defeat. Like someone said, hey, I want to give an example. Imagine that, you know, something happens and then you did not have the money. Someone said, no, I have the money. No, I said, imagine, see, even your imagination. I like that. So let's imagine that, you were sick. Excuse me. Is there somebody in that scenario that is not sick? Let me be that person. If it is another person that is sick, let him be someone else. I don't fall sick. I don't live a defeated life. I'm not disadvantaged. God's power is working on my behalf. God is setting things in place for me. He's preparing 2 years ahead. God is preparing 5 years ahead for me. God is preparing my 10 years ahead. When I get on my knees and I pray, God is removing things from my front and is putting some other things. I know who I am. If you want this job, you have to do this. If you want this job, meet me in so and so hotel. You are mad. My father has got 10,000 more other options. And if you are not careful and behave yourself, if I get into that role, I will buy up your company. If I get into that other role, I will so move fast up, successful. I will set up a company. I will buy your company. What are you discussing with a serpent? Someone was talking to someone. I know both people, okay? So I just want to mention. Someone was talking to someone. And then the fellow who was reporting to the person was now, you know, we were talking and then said, looking for how to put it, because I didn't want to mention people. So he said that I was telling this person. So the person was talking to someone, he was reporting to someone. And then in reporting to someone, she now mentioned somebody she had the conversation with and what the person has said to her. And she was reporting to this person. So now the fellow she was reporting to was a pastor. So the person now said, wait, who made that statement? Then she now said, she's a colleague in office. A colleague in office made that statement about your life and your marriage. So a colleague in the office knew that much. A colleague in the office knew so much to now say that statement about your home, your husband. What could be going on wrong in your home that a colleague in the office now knew so much and now passed that statement on your husband and your home? You are having the wrong conversations. I need to close. You are having the wrong conversations. Who is that fellow that he should know so much about you? A stranger should know so much about your life, your family details, the details about your past, your history. No. Is he going to pray with you? No. Is he going to give you God's word to hold on to that will fix the issue? No. Is he praying with you? Is he going to hold your hands and you fast together and you undo the hold of the enemy over this nation. No. No. So you are telling the person, as we, no. Are we together? No. Is it clear? No. I have the right conversations. See, that is dominion. Is it clear, church? That's dominion. To function in God's image. So, in whatever association or relationship it is, know two things. Know your place in it and know the place of that person. You must ask yourself, who is this person to tell me this? Imagine! Just imagine! Imagine! We said you should dominate. Then, after a while, the serpent said, don't mind God. Maybe this was the way he was standing. Beside one of the branches of the tree. Don't mind God. He knows that when you eat it, you'll be like him. Don't mind him. Have you even tasted it before? I know he will not allow you to taste it. I'm not asking you to taste it. But that was how somebody tasted it last week. And all his problems left him. I'm not asking you to taste it, but I think it will do good. Bye for now. It's a lie. You've had the wrong conversation. Seed has been sown in your mind. Say, I don't have the wrong conversations. Know what you tell people and why you are telling that person. Answer that question first before you say it. When people ask you questions, answer the question first. Why should this information go to him? Before, if you find the person useful, faithful, privileged to get that information, before you give him that information. Last week I spoke about conversations. It's one of the ways we demonstrate our dominion. Glory to God forevermore. I need to close. So look at this. Any achievement in life, put this somewhere you know. Any vision in life, any plan, any relationship, any pursuit, are we together? That you embark on, or that man or humans embark on, without this understanding of the image of God, will lead to a dysfunctional human being. You will function as a dysfunctional human being. You will function as a dysfunctional human being. Anything less than the image of God is a dysfunctional human being. People can build marriages functioning as dysfunctional human beings. People can build businesses functioning as dysfunctional human beings. Not because they are bad people. Are we together? Many times they are good, excellent people, excellent personalities, and they mean well. But meaning well is not enough. Are you equipped with knowledge? Do you know who you are? Are you mirroring the Father? It's not enough to mean well. It's not enough. But he's a good person. That is not enough. Does he know who he is? Does he know who she is in Christ? It's not enough. I know the person. I know they mean well. It's not enough. You can be sincere and be sincerely wrong. It's not enough. Is the person growing in God's word? Does he love the Lord? If you are not in a strong walk with the Lord, you will mess up your work with other men. You will yield to influences you shouldn't yield in. You will treat people badly. When people do things that should hurt you, you will lash at them. You will ruin relationships. And it doesn't mean you're a bad person. No. Now, you are not a bad person, so why do you think the person is a bad person? Are we here, church? Are we here? There are function in the image of God. So anything less than the image of God, look at this, in our achievements, anything less than the image of God, in our pursuit of achievements, you are going to function in that pursuit as a dysfunctional human being. If you succeed at it, your success will now destroy lives. Yes. I've seen some people before that they rose to the top of a particular profession or company. Now, because they have power, all the evil things in them now started coming out. Now started coming out. Now started coming out. Now, if you do something negative, before you can get somebody to hold you in place, you go tea. If you handle anyone anyhow, you just a single call to a particular office, the police will dissolve the issue. So you rose to that helm of affair without the understanding of you as the image of God. That office that ought to be a blessing to lives, you will use it to perpetuate evil. You use it. Oh, I believe God for money. I believe God for money. I'm going to have money. I'm going to have money. Now, we're going to have billionaires, yeah? Are we together? Yeah. It's very certain. It's very certain. It's too late not to be. Are we together? So, look at it. I'm going to have money. I'm going to have this. I want to have this. See, without that understanding of you functioning as the image of God, that money will become a tool for the enemy. Like I tell people, I say money don't change people. No. Money don't change anyone. Money reveals them. Power don't change people. Power reveals them. Power reveals them. Power shows what's inside that didn't have an avenue for expression. Now that you have power, it will show. Sometimes even in church, someone is now ordained the pastor. That position reveals what is inside. Because now you have a kind of privilege to show what is inside. So you must be grounded in the knowledge of who you are in Christ. Pray for me, let me close. So anything less, any pursuit of achievement will eventually lead to what? Error. Can you see something? Look at this. Joseph was an example. The guy knew who he was. Now, we saw him run away from fornicating with Potiphar's wife. But he thought that was all to eat. Until later on, he now became the right hand of the king. And when the guys came, he didn't say, how long till Moni Loni? He didn't say all that. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you're my heavenly Father, King of glory, Lord of glory, I thank you because you have brought my enemy into my hand. He didn't say that. He didn't say that. Power reveals who he was. He came to his brethren. He said, I'm Joseph, vice president. Joseph. He said, his brother said, Tiwati Bawa. That's what he said. They said, our sin has caught up with us. That was what they said. But Joseph said, no. He said, you meant it for evil. He said, God meant it for good. You sent me ahead in destruction, but it was God sending me ahead for your preservation. He knew who he was. Because Joseph, are we together, was a prophet. He was a priest. Did he function in the office of a prophet? Seeing and knowing for the king? Did he speak for God's plan? He was a priest. He was a teacher of the word. By the time he was going to die, are we together? Are we together? He was going to die. He told them. His father gave that instruction. He himself. No, this is not our land. We must live here. Are we together? And he functioned as God's king. Dominating influences. That is who you are. In your business, on campus, in your relationships, marital, non-marital, in your associations, that is who you are. Now, imagine two people who function as the image of God come together in a marriage. That home is Eden. Are we together? Strife can't hold there. They know how to resolve it. They know how to resolve it. Offenses, will offenses come up? Yes. Will they deal with it? Perfect. Those are the families God is using. Now the ones we have, right? And it seems as though some hedges there has broken, some inadequacies. What did we do this morning? We spoke God's word over them. Because God heals also. Is it clear, church? Well, that is what God is doing. God wants you and I to function in our relationships. Is it in our process of achievements, academic certifications, businesses, our career points, our associations, new jobs, are we together? Whatever it is, businesses, contract, whatever it is that you are doing, know in that relationship that you are the image of God. Is it clear, church? My relationship with God finds expression in my relationship with other people. That is why we don't give up. We don't give up anyhow on it. Parents don't give up on their kids. Parents don't give up on their kids. Because the parents is functioning as the image of God. The kids don't rebel and, you know, pitch against and kicks against the parents. No, because they function as the image of God. Paul says, he says, father, mothers, provoke not your children unto what? Then he says, children, honor your what? Your parents. That's the image of God. That is Paul collecting, using the image of God to collect parental relationships. Husbands, love your wife. As Christ loved the church. Wives, honor, submit unto. Notice this, say wives, submit to husbands. No. It says wives, submit to your own husbands. Your home. Are we together? That is Paul correcting marital relationships using the image of God. Did he talk about masters and slaves also? He did. Colossians 4. Are we together? He spoke about masters and slaves. He says, slaves, that is, employees, serve your master. He says, not as eye service, but as also the Lord. Are we together? He didn't say, follow him, until God raises you to overtake him. No. 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 He spoke about the wealthy. That means when you have, he says, children that are rich in this world. Are we together? Are we together? That they do what? They do good. They trust living God, Lord, to find riches. They are ready to distribute. That is, when you are a wealthy person, the wealthy, he corrects how to use your resources as the image of God. So in Christ, all relationship issues are what? Fixed. Why? The image of God fixes every relationship. I just need to understand it. I just need to see it. I just need to discover who I am and act it. Glory to God forevermore. And we learn something this morning. Let's just be on our feet, give God praise for the word, and give Him thanks. We are building blossoming relationships by the grace and power of God. Relationships are not failing, but God's plan are entrenched through our relationships, like we started this morning, in our families this week, and through the month of December, the new year through 2026, will have more and more blossoming relationships in the homes. Areas where there's been stagnancy, there's progress. People are moving forward as a walk in identity in Christ, as a walk in who we are in Christ. Just lift up your hand, give me praise.